Good morning. This morning's gospel is one of those that occurs only in Matthew. We have no other versions with which to compare it to help reconstruct the original. And it occurs here in chapter 25, right at the end, part of the last material presented before the passion, death, and resurrection narratives begin. And to help it fit that spot, coming after the sermon on the coming of the kingdom and before the passion itself, Matthew gives it a tagline to sort of set the lens for its reading. Luke does that a lot more often than Matthew, but Matthew does it every once in a while. And this is one of them. So we get this line at the end, "Therefore stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." That's very reminiscent of the sermon in chapter 24. About the coming of the kingdom, the need to stay awake. Doesn't fit the original story very well, however, since all 10 of them fall asleep. So it's not about falling asleep or not falling asleep. It's about bringing the flask of oil or not bringing the flask of oil. Begin to listen to that. The original story, as Jesus probably originally told it, and there's no reason to believe he didn't, was a story in the wisdom tradition. Be wise, be prudent, make provisions. Jesus was a wisdom teacher in Israel. He brings to its fullness all of the three great traditions, the law, the prophets, and the writings. Jesus certainly is an upholder of the law and an exponent of the law. I tell you, not the smallest letter of the law, not the smallest part of a letter will pass away until it all is all fulfilled. Which is the greatest commandment of the law? Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Jesus teaches the law. Was well known for that. And he's perhaps best known as a prophet. One who interprets the world, society, our life from God's point of view. This was so obvious to everyone, both in his words and in his deeds, that their only differences were as to which of the prophets he was. You know, is this Jeremiah or one of the other prophets or John the Baptizer? God has raised up some one of the ancient prophets in this man. So Jesus is clearly of the law and of the prophets. He also stands in the wisdom tradition. This is the third, perhaps less reflected on, strand of Israel's relationship with God. We learned a little bit about it this summer when we looked for at length at some of the wisdom books. We saw how international it was. They shared it with the other people in the whole area and borrowed from them. We saw how traditional it was. It was one of these things where everybody added on something and it became the sum of all its parts. We saw essentially what it was. It's more than knowledge, although it includes knowledge. It's more than prudence, although it includes prudence. It's putting everything in the right perspective, viewing everything from the right way, seeing it all in the relationship to God and our relationship to God. It's having certain wisdom about knowing when to be knowledgeable, when to be prudent, when and how to put things together. And different parts of the wisdom tradition will emphasize different things that wisdom is. Today's gospel emphasizes one of them. Wisdom takes a longer view than foolishness. They're all invited to the wedding feast. Everybody comes. Everybody brings a lamp. You know, these things start late. But the wise ones thought they might start even later than they figured. So they brought along the flasks of oil. Those who were foolish just had what they had in their lamp. When that was gone, they were gone. God's plan may take longer to be realized than you counted on. Doesn't mean it won't happen. Just means it may take longer. Be prepared. Be ready to hang in there. This is a gospel that would be greatly beloved of Coast Guardsmen. Semper paratus, always ready, always prepared. Or a Boy Scout, be prepared. Be prepared for the long haul and settle in for the long haul. God's purposes are accomplished, but they're not accomplished as quickly as we would like. And that's certainly true. And we have reason to know more about that than they did. We have modern science available to us that they didn't have that will give us a reasonable estimate of the age of the universe. It tells us we have a very patient God. For 13.7 plus or minus a couple of decimal points billion years, God has been creating this world, evolving this world, loving this world into existence. Our God is very patient. It may take a long time, but it is happening. All those things that the first few chapters of Genesis talked about happening in days happened in billions of years, but they happened, and here we are. And all these promises that God has made to us may not happen immediately, but they will happen, and there they will be. So come along, participate, but bring that extra flask of oil, because you don't know how long it will take. You may need to be prepared for the long haul. We have trouble with that as Americans. Patience is not one of our national virtues. There are a number of wonderful virtues in the American character. We're very hardworking, we're very industrious, we're very creative. There's a whole bunch of things you can say about Americans, sort of in general, not all of us, but enough of us to make a difference. But being patient is not one of them. We want it like a 2-year-old. I want what I want when I want it. And we expect it to happen immediately. And if it doesn't happen immediately, we get bored. What is the worst insult in the American teenage vocabulary? Boring. Somehow they have to learn that most of life is boring. We have to be prepared for the long haul. Being a grown-up requires that you go to work and go to work and go to work. And pay the bills, and pay the bills, and pay the bills, and cook the meals, and cook the meals, and cook the meals. It's a long, sometimes dreary, sometimes boring proposition. But that's reality. You better get used to it. Yeah. Same for larger things. God's creation of the world may seem a little boring at times. May seem like, oh, this is not going anywhere. Let's give it up. Let's go do something that's going to happen, something exciting. Hang in there. Keep working at it, one little bit at a time. Be prepared. Bring the flask of oil. Stick to it. It will happen. I think we have a good insight today about that, that things can happen, that will take a long time, but a relatively short time, too. Depending on the lens you use. We just elected our first African-American president of the United States. Do you think that was going to happen in your lifetime, 20 years ago? Those of you who are under 20 don't have to answer that question. But those of you who were grown-ups 20 years ago, I bet you didn't. I bet you thought it would happen. I bet you hoped it would happen. I bet you believed it would happen. But I don't think you thought it would happen in your lifetime. I surely didn't. But it has. And look at the results. Look at the way that it happened. I find it very interesting that there was not a great distortion of voting patterns in this country, in this election. The only one that changed a great deal, of course, was that there was an enormous surge for President-elect Obama in the African-American community. And I think we Catholics can understand that. How many of you are old enough to remember how much the Catholic vote surged in 1960 when we got the first chance to vote for one of our own? I think we expect as much from the African-American community. That will not happen continually or regularly, but that first chance to vote for one of your own, how can you pass it up? But what's more significant than that was the percentage in the white community, which was a little bit higher than the last three elections. Not just the last two, which the Democrats lost, but the one before that. Obama got a larger percentage of the white vote than Bill Clinton did the year that he was reelected. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who voted for one candidate is a good guy and everybody who voted for the other candidate is a bad guy. Quite the contrary. What it means is that people voted on the basis of what they believed in about the candidates and about their platforms and about their ideas. There's very little indication that people voted against Obama because of his race. And I wouldn't have expected that 20 years ago. And I certainly was afraid of it even this year. The Bradley effect that didn't show up. That's real maturity. That's real progress in American society. Now, you want an idea of how far we've come? Let me tell you a story at the other end. Now, some of you, I'm sure, have heard me tell this story before, but it seems appropriate to put it in here as a bookend this morning, so bear with me. 1964, I was a seminarian working during the summer at St. Martin's under Monsignor Austin Healey, one of the great leaders of that generation. That generation had so many great leaders. And he had us out visiting homes. And I spent an afternoon, I don't know, 2-3 hours, sitting in a woman's kitchen. The whole block is gone now. It's part of that expressway to nowhere that goes out through West Baltimore. I spent several hours sitting in her kitchen, shelling peas, as an excuse to listen to her grandmother, who was shelling peas, tell stories. And the story that still always gives me a shiver just to think about is the story this old lady told about the party they threw when the Union troops came and told them they were free. This was 1964. She was 104 years old. She'd been born in 1860 on a plantation south of Richmond, Virginia. She was 5 years old when she was freed from slavery, and she remembered it clear as a bell. So you think it's boring? You think it takes too long? You think, well, why should I come if I have to bring the flask of oil? Because what doesn't happen in a year or a day or a decade, that can happen in a lifetime. I have witnessed the election of an African American as president of the United States, and I have kissed a woman who was born a slave. God's creation does happen. This world does evolve. Day to day, you won't see the difference. Day to day, you may say, well, you know, if it won't happen before this lamp burns out, it's not worth my effort. I'll let it go. But it's happening. Bring along the flask of oil. Stick to the work. You won't make much of a difference. I won't make much of a difference. We're not here as the architect. We're not here for the party, for the dedication. We're here just to lay a couple of bricks and then pass the work over. But it's still worth doing. If every generation lays its couple of bricks, God's kingdom will be built. God's temple will be complete. If, on the other hand, we say, ah, no, it's not really happening. It's not fast enough. It's too boring. I'm not bothering with that. If we only go with what oil we've got and don't bring along the extra oil, if we're not prepared for the long haul, then the process can grind to a halt with us. Evolution is now in our hands. It's the human race that has taken responsibility. We can make God's creation happen, or we can run this whole thing into the ground. Not by what we do, perhaps, as much as by what we don't do. For the triumph of evil, it is necessary only that the good do nothing, that they not bring along the flasks of oil. To know all of this is wisdom. To have seen even a sign of it so recently is a delight. God's plans are happening. They don't happen perhaps as fast as we would like, but they happen. They're worth participating in. Come for the wedding feast, but realize that it may be more delayed than you thought. Be prepared for the long haul. Bring along your flask of oil. And this too is wisdom. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.